could go to Leela Arts Center, or you could go to the Goodman Theater and get a ticket for $173. Wow. Chris Jones' story today in the Chicago Tribune, chief theater critic for the paper, is here in studio. Good to see you.
Always nice to be here on the down low.
So, yeah, I saw that and I was like, okay, so maybe this is like a VIP thing where it's at the top, but it's really not. This is a trend that more and more theaters are moving towards.
Well, it's Broadway, the, you know, it's something called dynamic pricing or variable pricing, which is when the price of the ticket shifts according to demand. You know, the Cubs do it. The Cubs are doing it more and more this year. Walt Disney World does it. So the thinking goes, why not your local friendly nonprofit theater when you have a big hit? Why not, you know, for those people who've procrastinated, didn't buy a subscription, shame on them. They can only go on a Saturday night. Why don't you say, look, if you want a really good seat, it's going to cost you. Their argument, which they've made vociferously today to me, as you can imagine, is that the many arguments. One is that the money goes back into new work. They say if we didn't do shows like this, we couldn't do the really cool stuff we do.
Because this is for War Paint.
This is for War Paint. This is with Patti LuPone and Christine Ebersole. It's about the cosmetic wars, with Helena Rubinstein. And it's a show that a lot of people want to see. And in fact, in fairness to the Goodman, the reason you know those prices are so high is very few tickets are left. So, you know, after they, I'm holding the phone about 300 yards from my ear today, but that was the end of it. I'm like, you're going to sell a lot of tickets because people are going to read this column and they're going to go, wow, this is a hot show. And they're going to snap up all the cheaper seats.
Right.
So I think the Goodman will be just fine. But it does bring up this issue of should there be a ceiling for a nonprofit?
Right. Like,
should they charge whatever the market should bear? It's a good question. And I see both sides.
Well,
of the
I mean,
argument.
Broadway has had hits like Hamilton. Yeah. We just talked about Hamilton coming here. They don't care. They're going to trip.
Well, Hamilton, if you want to see, if you like, just say Justin Cowell. Well, you of course would have all your entree. They'd be laying out.
Yeah.
Let's not pretend you'd be a regular punter. Let's not make that pretense. But for the average listener, if you wanted to see Hamilton like next week, you'd be dropping $400 or $500 a ticket if you could get one.
Wow.
Even if you now, if you want to buy the more regular prices, you're looking a year out, you know, and you're still looking at close to $200. The question will be here in Chicago, where I like to think we're a bit more sane than New York. Like, I loved Hamilton in New York. I'm like, would I give up a kidney for this show? No. It's a good show. It's a really good show, but you know, people say to me, is it worth, like, I guess it depends how much $1,000 is to you. But I do think we will see, when Hamilton arrives, we will see some serious prices.
So are we going to see, is this a trend? I mean, the Goodman Theater can do this because they got a big show coming in, but there are other big shows, the Chicago Shakespeare, Steppenwolf. Are we going to see dynamic pricing and the idea of higher ticket when you got a hit, you're going to see harder to get tickets and more expensive for something like
that? And maybe cheaper tickets when they can't sell a ticket to save their lives, right? Which is sort of very similar to how hotels are priced. You know, I was in New York this weekend seeing Blackbird with Michelle Williams. I stayed at a very nice hotel. Lovely. I stayed at the beautiful Waldorf Astoria for a very cheap price because it's March. So, you know, you can stay at a very nice place. So it's the same principle as that. But the difference is that nonprofits are mission-based and they have various advantages based on the fact that they serve the community.
Right.
They argue they serve it just fine by doing this. Fair enough. Hear the argument. But, you know, if you want to see that show, I'm like, well, would you charge $275? $300? $400? Is there
it's
a
just
limit?
Amazing. Just thinking about it, you're like, wow, that's just so much money. But again, it is 2016, and it seems Hamilton.
I went with a friend of mine last night to the lovely Prime and Provision over there, and I'm looking at that menu, and I'm thinking, it's hard to get out of here for less than a couple of hundred ahead. It is hard on that menu. You know, it is.
Yeah.
It is not, you know.
It's downtown. I mean, it's a little, I mean, if you're looking for a theater experience that's, you know, like me, maybe $7. It's
seven
not
going to
be downtown. It's not going to be downtown.
And you can do well if you know, a lot of people who listen to your show are sophisticated consumers of the theater. They know how to get their gold star. They know how to get their hot ticks. They know how to show they got that ancient student ID. They truck that out. That works for them from time to time. So, but you know, we gotta, I don't know, you gotta represent the, you know, Justin, the regular folks.
Well, there's something to the idea that Chicago is a staging ground or like the for Broadway.
Right,
so the reason that is because you want to connect to a regular audience. You want to connect to a different, so charging the same level of price defeats the purpose a little bit.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I like to think that Chicago is a little more sane and we're all reasonable people. We all calm down. Let's not get too carried away. You know, we don't have, you know, the great income inequalities here in America. Maybe here in Chicago, a little more. Aren't we? Yeah. Compared to New York or LA, aren't we a little more in the middle?
We're supposed to be. Aren't we?
You know, I like to think now and again, you got to say, come on, guys, come on.
All right, let's switch gears. The one thing I was just talking to Rob Martyr about this. I saw the Steppenwolf, they announced their season.
Everybody's
doing seasons.
Yes.
I'm so confused when a season begins and when a season ends. I thought we got rid of that. I thought the idea was that there's shows in the summer, there's shows. I'm seeing all these previews. These are all for the start in the fall?
They're mostly for the start in the fall. Here is the interesting thing, right? So your millennials, those millennials out there right now listening to you, the millennials, mysterious millennials, they don't like, the theory goes, to buy season subscriptions. You've got to plan ahead. You've got to plunk down your cash in advance. So a lot of theaters, and Steppenwolf's trying to do this, are moving more to like memberships, Netflix for the stage. The Theater Wit does that on the north side. Okay. So the idea is you get a card and you can take Justin Kaplan and three of his best friends to this show and not bother with the next one. It's all very flexible and it's the way of the future. Everyone thinks that's where the puck is going, but they still have these subscription bases in some cases, 10, 15, 20, 30,000 people, and they can't get rid of it because if they did that,
it's a lifeline.
Yeah, right. It's not so different really from our fabulous world of media where, you know, you've got, oh, the digital world is where it's going, but hey, that paper's a lot of subscribers. Let's not forget.
We are on 720 AM.
Yes, we are. WGN, let me say, the N in newspaper. So that's a bit of an analogy.
Yeah, that's a good
point. It's a bit of an analogy. But I think
so. The seasons are really for subscriptions.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, I think most of the actual artists find them a big pain in the neck because they get locked into things. The other thing that's happened at Steppenwolf is those big stars who you want to see, I want to see, everyone wants to see, the big names, they're all on TV shows. They would love to come to Chicago and do 2 or 3 weeks on this, a weekend here, but they cannot and will not sit down for the kind of money they're making at Steppenwolf for like 12 weeks when they could be, you know, on a TV show.
And they got to make that decision so far in advance, right?
Exactly. That's the other thing. You got to commit out and you don't know what you're going to do. Then they announce it and we do a big story. And then they're like, oh, Laurie Metcalf, not happening. So that's the dilemma they're in. And I sympathize. I don't sympathize that much, but I sympathize a little.
Well, Steppenwolf being one, stories. I mean, they got some big shows. The Tracy Lett show.
Well, he's huge right now. Carrie Coon, you know, is in that. The Mary Page Marlowe is going to be very big. We got some big shows. We've got Mary Page Marlowe. We've got SpongeBob SquarePants. Yes, indeed. Mm-hmm. Let's not underestimate the appeal of your SpongeBob SquarePants coming your way this summer.
You say that so elegantly.
Like it.
Yeah,
SpongeBob SquarePants. And of course, Hamilton, that little show called Hamilton, where people, in where I work, people who've never even heard of the word theater, they go, theater? What? Who are you again? You're not worth anything. Wait, can I get tickets to Hamilton? There's a show called Hamilton?
Go over to Jones. Has got some tickets.
He's all right. We'll keep him around another month. Why not? He could get us into Hamilton. That's cool.
Your new boss is at the train. Yeah. Like, yeah, well, we'll go to Hamilton. Jones
will
get us.
That's cool.
Well, it's not just the Steppenwolf because I've seen others, you know, here come the announcement for the season. I mean, is there any trend to pull from what has been announced for the new seasons? Does Chicago have like a next year is going to be daring or innovative? Is there going to be a specific kind of theater that we should expect in 2016-2017?
Well, I think you're seeing a bit of a generational shift in a few theaters. I mean, Steppenwolf, if I look at that Steppenwolf season, I would say it's a very downtown season in the New York sense of downtown. There's Taylor Mack, who's a very well-known performance artist, sort of writer, conceptualist in New York. Young John Lee, who's the same. Very, very trendy. What we would have thought of 10 years ago as something you would find more in a fringy gallery kind of space, now they're very mainstream. Mm. And of course, those artists have become older and become more mainstream as they've gone on in their careers. But I would say that you're getting a little more of a mix and match. Hey, there's a little show here. A bit away from the, you know, it's Friday night, we're opening one of our five shows this year. So that is the trend. But, you know, it's competitive. The other thing that's happening that's fascinating, I'm sure you know all about the big news on the pier with Chicago Shakespeare Theater taking over the Skyline stage. Yeah. That's going to be an 800-seat theater. So that's coming online, Justin. That's a big new venue.
The Shakespeare Theater right now is, what, 300, 400?
Yeah, like 4-5, something like that for the main stage.
So this is a huge improvement.
Oh, potentially in some configuration. So that's a big new – they've got a program that year-round.
Right.
That's sucking a lot of demand.
Does that mean that we're no longer going to have that weird Cirque du Soleil knockoff?
That's dead. That's so dead. I came by once during the lunch break for that. They were all I almost stopped in, but they had like they had like walk on the they had like a bunch of walks. I was like, this is cool.
It was like their go-to summer hit. It was like, yeah, we're just going to have this Cirque. I don't even think it was Cirque du Soleil. I think it was like a
in a Cirque Shanghai.
Yeah, Cirque Shanghai, that's what
Cirque
it was.
Cirque Shanghai,
yeah,
they had, but they did have the Wheel of Death. Yeah. Which was the motorcycle, you know, I'm a big fan of the Wheel of Death.
Oh, yeah.
I'm a bit of a circus freak, but I like to see at least six cycles.
Yeah.
They were five.
Yeah, that's no good.
No,
and you need someone who's like, oh, they're going to try six. You need the circus
the voice.
Parker.
Yeah.
This never been done before.
One of the only.
I saw a Wheel of Death. You'd love this. At the Edinburgh Fringe, I saw a Wheel of Death with dirt bikes. I think it was Frankenstein. See, the Frankenstein or Cinderella. It was a play
in the show,
and they made the play essentially dirt bikes Wheel of Death. I don't know how they did it, and it was stupid.
But there's a guy who has the big cage, and he goes around. He's like, "Look, you can make a Wheel of Death in this. Let's make this a Wheel of Death. Long day's journey into night. Give it a Wheel of Death. Hamlet, Wheel of Death."
There's one Wheel of Death promoter who's just like, you can do any theater.
Any theater.
Anything. All right.
On the download. Only on the download.
Chris Jones, chief theater critic from the Chicago Tribune, closing out the highbrow.
Just getting fired here on the download.
Yeah, right.
Thanks a lot.
Getting fired up. Good to see you, man. Good to see you.
Thanks, Justin.